flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You knew exactly what they were doing every time. And they still do what they do. They still do the same damn that when I was playing Tomlin's defense.
Steeler football.
I'm like, what the? We still have linebackers covering the 3 slot?
Yeah.
Every time we play Steelers, I have at least 9 catches. Coach, you would think that they would change it.
Right.
No, but they do what they do.
Oh, my God. Julian Edelman. Former New England Patriots wide receiver. You know who he is. Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can also tweet us at @_AdamCrowley, @ScoreAndDoran. Brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Pat Bostic going to be joining us in about 16 minutes here. Doran, that is scathing from Julian Edelman. And look, like the Ben comments, we have talked about the frugality of the Rooney family for a while now and how they're always going to spend to the cap, but they'll find ways to cut corners at other places. That engagement survey comes out last year from the NFLPA. Like, they're not going to spend a ton of money on facilities. But when Ben says something about it, we're going to talk about it. We have said for a while that the Steelers are predictable defensively. This isn't new information. But when a guy who played against them a lot comes out and says it, and says it as strongly as Julian Edelman just did, we're going to talk about it. And then my emotions, they start to run hot again. Because during the season, oh man, they are predictable. Boy, TJ's in the same spot every play. Boy, Minkah Fitzpatrick's in the same spot every play. Man, they blitz less than any team in the NFL. You know what they're going to do. Well, you forget about it. Season's over. You go a couple of Sundays, Saturdays, Thursdays, or Mondays without having to think about the Steelers or getting angry watching them. And then the emotions come back up when Julian Edelman goes, yeah, they're doing the same stuff they've always done. It drives me up a wall. They've got, for my money, good enough players to be good defensively. But when you know where great players are, it makes it a lot easier to stop.
It is. I mean, you talk about the evolution of this franchise, and it's just, and you just kind of nailed it with the little survey that came out last year. It's not evolving in any area. And then you could just obviously focus to the offense too. I mean, it's the same thing. Like, you know what they're going to do. Like, if I'm a defense, I know exactly what they're doing. I watch the games on Sundays. I know when they're going to run the ball. I know when they're going to pass the ball. I know what type of pass is going to be. I know what type of set the offensive line is doing. I mean, they are very, very, hey, this used to be the brand of Steelers football where we take the game to you and you have to stop us and we'll just out-bully you. And we don't have to do anything exotic. We don't have to change because we are tougher and we are Steelers. Like, that used to work, but it just doesn't work anymore, and you have to evolve and not just evolve on the field and evolve off the field. And if you're not evolving off the field, you're never going to evolve on the field.
That's really well said.
You're not.
Defensively with Dick LeBeau, they would do stuff and you'd go, whoa, damn. I mean, Kurt Warner got confused in the Super Bowl, threw a pick six to James Harrison. Now, part of that's the freelancing. Part of that's the ability to actually be allowed to freelance within a Dick LeBeau scheme. Troy Polamalu was doing all kind of funky stuff. They weren't just better than you. They didn't just have better players than you. They had that. They were also smarter than
yes.
you. Yes. When I think about the 2013 through the 2015 Pirates, the best three-year stretch of the Pirates that we've seen in our lives, our cognizant lives, Doran, they were smarter than everybody else. They were shifting more than anybody else. They were pitching inside. They were pitched to contact. They were smarter. They were on the cutting edge. And then, of course, you know, the Rays started doing that kind of stuff, and they're a really smart team, so then the Dodgers just take the Rays guy, and now the teams with the most money could also be the smartest. But the Pirates were smarter. The Penguins in 16 and 17, the league had got big. The big term that was thrown around was heavy. Everyone's heavy. All these teams are heavy. So what did the Penguins do? They went with speed. They became the fastest team in the NHL. Oh, you all want to start banging bodies and you want to grind teams down. We're going to possess the puck in a different way. We are going to zig when everyone else is zagging. They were smarter than everybody else. The Steelers, they're not smarter than anybody. They're cavemen. They're draconian. You're so right. Julian Edelman's talking about how predictable they are on defense. And my God, it's obvious to anybody with eyes who knows a thing or two about football that they're predictable. Offensively, it's the same way.
Same way.
They're averaging they averaged this year 4.5 yards per play on first down. Why is that? Because they had the highest percent of runs in the league on first downs. They are predictable, and they're not good enough to be predictable. You knew that the 70s Steelers are going to run cover two.
Mm-hmm.
But they were better than you. Steelers aren't better than you, and they're not smarter than you. And it takes a while to accrue talent. It shouldn't take that long to think outside the box. It's going to take a couple of off-seasons of drafts and free agency to get this roster anywhere near as good as the Philadelphia Eagles roster. But can you be smart? Can you go about things in an intelligent way? Well, they're not. It's frustrating.
Yeah, and it starts up top, and we say this every day, but, I mean, he Mike Tomlin's not going to change, and he thinks his method works, and, like, that's what he's going to roll out there. It's going to be like a mano-a-mano. That's his mentality. It's like, we have T.J. Watt. That's what whenever he goes in those meetings, and it's like he sees an offense, and he runs those clips of their best players and best plays, and we got a T.J. Watt. Like, that's the solution on defense. Not like, okay, like TJ Watt, we're going to have you drop in this coverage. We're going to have you do this. You're going to move around so nobody knows who you are. And they have to, act like you're the mic, but who's the other mic? And then we're going to bring that guy in a blitz and TJ's going to drop. Like, no, we have a TJ Watt. TJ Watt's like, yeah, like, those guys are getting paid too on the other side. Like, I'm one of the best. I get that. But, like, they know where I'm coming. Like, they know what's happening.
Would it kill you, Terrell Austin, Mike Tomlin, to, like, five times a game, like, help me get single blocked? Like, could you throw me a bone every now and again? I don't think it's coincidence that now, as TJ gets older, I think he wore down by the end of the year.
For sure.
And he got hurt, too, and I don't think he ever recovered, but...
But he gets hurt every year.
Right.
Too. That's a part of the game. I mean, he's going 100 miles per hour. I'm not saying that he's soft or anything.
No.
No chance. But, like, I mean, he does, have an injury every single year, which everybody does, but he seems to have lingering ones.
Right. And I'm not putting it all on the coaching staff, but on every key third down, it's, I got to fight through the right tackle... the tight end, and a running back's going to try to take my knees out.
Mm-hmm.
Every single passing situation of every single game all year long, and I'm not 25 anymore. And it's just going to wear on you. His statistical decline at the end of the year was very much what Myles Garrett dealt with the year prior, where Miles was shot out of a cannon in this absolute force, and then down the stretch, there's just nothing left. it's not that they're putting too much on TJ, but I think it would be a breath of fresh air if once every now and then you throw an extra pass rusher coming off that side.
Right.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like we saw at the end of the Bills-Chiefs game where they blitzed the corner. You're allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They did it with Keith Butler, which is what's really frustrating. And, of course, they did it with Dick LeBeau. I mean, they were blitz-happy teams. And they blitzed a ton when you had James Harrison and Lamar Woodley. Like, you're allowed to do that. And there's just zero imagination on the defensive side. And I think it's all tied together. It's a small staff. It's not enough diversity of thought. And you just make it easy on the opposition.
And I think they're so worried about the back end having to hold up in man coverage a lot. You know, I don't know how much faith, like, we could say that they have a lot of faith in Joey Porter Jr., but, you know, to single him up, it just shows me that now Mike Tomlin gets with young players. Like, it's like, okay, like, I'm going to give you some, and I'm not going to give you it all.
I look at the Eagles defense with a lot of young guys. Cooper DeJean. They got a couple of rookies.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Young, he's a rookie. Couple of young guys on the back end that are starters. Vic Fangio's defense, incredibly complex. They seem to be able to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm giving up big plays regardless defensively, I'm going to start bringing the house every now and again. Because if I'm giving up the big play anyway, why not try to create more negative plays? There's zero imagination defensively. There's zero imagination offensively. And it's why the defense, because their players are so good, kick the hell out of bad quarterbacks and bad offensive teams. But the second you've got a good scheme, good quarterbacks, you get picked apart.
Yep. I would love to play against this, you know, somebody like Matt Stafford or somebody, you know, a veteran. They would love to play against the Steelers.
Dak, you know, Prescott picked them apart, Doran. I mean,
it's easy. You know where they're going to be.
That's why Joe Flacco comes in.
Yes, and picks them apart.
And picks them apart.
He knows where they're going to be. Nothing's going to change.
Right.
You're not going to be surprised. Quarterbacks getting off their game is whenever they're surprised about something. And then they start getting skittish and they get the yips. And it's like, okay, like I'm hesitant. You never feel that whenever you're a quarterback going against the Steelers, unless you're like a young player that, you know, is in your tackle stinks and he has to go against T.J. Watt and T.J. gets the best of him early.
We've talked about this a bunch, and you said it. It's a player's game, and I agree with that. Ben Johnson, it's a player's game. But to a point, you have to help your players. You have to put your players in a position to succeed. That's what coaching is.